Please to 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 9 this afternoon. Speaking to you on the subject of hard times. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. Let's give our attention to the Word of God. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. And that ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together again. Our Father, we pray you will grant us understanding through God the Holy Spirit, that we might know about your truth, more about our Savior, and more about how we should live. Amen. As we look at verse 1 in our text this afternoon, we see that times of difficulty will come, hard times will come, Paul writes to Timothy. Hard times would come to Ephesus. Hard times will come to Raleigh. Hard times will come to the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever it is. And there will be waves of hard times that come and go. There will always be hard times for the church. Timothy was in the midst of hard times when Paul wrote this, but there will be hard times to come as well. So he is saying, expect it. Don't be surprised when hard times come. Be prepared for hard times because they will affect you, these hard times. As Christians, we have three big enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And these are constantly confronting us. So we have to be prepared. The church has enemies. Until the end of time, there will be those who oppose Christ and his gospel. Verse 1 mentions the last days. In the last days will come times of difficulties. Maybe the first time you read the scriptures, if you're like I am, I should say, first time I read my Bible, I thought last times, of course, was in reference to me. Who else would it be in reference to, after all? It was in reference to me, right? In the last times, in reference to me, difficult times will come. But we know that's not true. The scripture uses this term, last times and latter days, and other similar terms to indicate the time between the comings of Christ, the first and second comings of Christ. It was the last days in Timothy's day. It is the last days in our day. They are not just limited to the time before the end. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. Jesus Christ came in the last days. We are still living in the last days. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last hour. 1 John 2:18. Hard times will come and go throughout this era. And at or near the very end of time, I believe, I know there are different views about the end of time, but I believe that there will be a great departure from the faith at the end of time when the man of lawlessness will be revealed. There will be hard times then too. There will be a turning away from the Lord as there is now. So be ready for hard times through a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we repent of our sins and trust in him and follow him, we will be ready for these hard times. So let's consider this subject, hard times, this afternoon under these three headings. First of all, sinful men cause hard times. And I'm using the term men generically. Sinful people will cause hard times, first of all. Secondly, we are told to turn away from sinful men who cause hard times. And thirdly, turn to the Lord in hard times. Of course, we would expect that admonition. First of all, sinful men cause hard times. And sinful men are described here with a long list of characteristics. It kind of builds up momentum. And after five or six, we get the point. But the Lord saw fit to belabor the point to make sure we understand that these are really hard times. These are really difficult people. These are people who hate the Lord and hate his church. And with all the emphasis on the positive these days, it's good to emphasize the positive. But we must not forget that the negative will always be present until we reach our final state with the Lord forever. Sinful men, verse 5 says, at the beginning of verse 5, have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. So there is a deception. They give the impression of being godly, but they deny its power, and they are not really godly. These were either attenders or members of the church in Ephesus. They were right there with the truly godly people, the true people of God. They were mixed in, just like they are in the church today. Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Matthew 7:15. Jesus warned his disciples. He warns us as well. Keep your eyes open. There are some who are deceivers. They denied the power of godliness. They denied the power of God. They denied the power of the gospel, which is the power to salvation. Christ had not changed them. The Holy Spirit was not in them. There was no fruit in their lives, but they were deceptive. They tried to hide that. In some cases, they did. And so the description goes on with them in verse 2, lovers of self. Lovers of self. We should know something about self-love in this age. It's a gospel that is taught frequently in many places. Love yourself, we are taught. Well, we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Why are we taught that? Because we naturally love ourselves. It comes by nature. Unless there's something terribly wrong with us, we do love ourselves. There's this thing that we have now that we didn't have years ago called a selfie. That tells us something, doesn't it? That's what we're about, self. These are lovers of self. They're lovers of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. This is a description of these men. They're boasters, braggarts. We could translate swaggerers. Again, we're told today, have swagger. Swagger's a good thing, right? They're proud, in verse 2. They are abusive, meaning they use abusive talk. And we see so many examples of abusive talk these days because there are so many platforms on which we can use our words. And I'm thinking of the various messaging services that we have these days. We get carried away. And it's so easy to get carried away when you're not looking the person in the eye and you're typing on a screen or a handheld device. When you don't see them, it's easy to do that. I bet you didn't expect to find this one in this list. Disobedient to parents. Yes, that's a big one too. Disobedient to parents. They are unthankful. And how many times do we want more and take for granted what God has given us by His grace and mercy? They are unholy, that is secular. They have no religion. Then on, it spills over into verse 3, where we see that they are unloving, they are heartless and cold. They are unforgiving, implacable, incapable of being reconciled. This is a terrible position to be in. Whichever end of the stick you're on, it's a terrible position to be in. If you won't move, if you won't be reconciled to someone else, or if someone else won't be reconciled to you, it's not a comfortable position either way. It's very frustrating. But these men could not be reconciled. They were slanderers, malicious gossips. They were without self-control. There was no desire to have self-control. No limit to eating, drinking, thoughts, words. They were brutal, still in verse 3. They were savage. They were fierce. They were despisers of good. This means their moral compass had been reversed, you see, so that they despised good things. Once again, I'm amazed at what I hear today on news reports. Many people don't even seem to know what's right and wrong these days. That's these men here that Timothy was facing. Again, in verse 4, it continues, they're traitors. They betray their friends. They're headstrong. They are reckless. They are haughty, conceited. They consider themselves superior to other people. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's what Timothy was facing. That's a description of these sinful men. And some of these things, many of these things, perhaps all of these things we take up from time to time ourselves. And then, in addition to that, these sinful men take advantage of vulnerable women in verses 6 and 7. They creep into households. They worm their way in. Now, maybe they were charmers. Certainly they were deceivers. Perhaps they had been forbidden to teach in public in Ephesus. So here they worm their way into these households and make captives of gullible women. Of course, I hasten to say, not all the Ephesian female church members were like this, but there were some. They preyed upon the weak, you see. That's where they emphasized their work. These women were loaded down with sins, verse 6 says. They continued in sin and apparently did not repent. They felt the guilt and didn't know how to get rid of it or wouldn't. They were led away by various passions, verse 6 says. They followed their own desires and did not resist their temptations. And so this made them open to false teaching. And then Paul writes in verse 7 of these women, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Always learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. You can learn a lot in this world. You can be a walking encyclopedia. You can know facts about the Bible. You can memorize books of the Bible and still not know salvation in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of knowledge available out there these days with all the media we have. But these ladies were always learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Sometimes we can so focus our learning of scripture or spiritual things, we can so focus it to this one focal point that we forget what's important, the gospel of Jesus Christ and our sanctification and following of Him. So these sinful men who cause hard times take advantage of vulnerable women. And furthermore, they reject the truth. In verse 8, it is said, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Some people receive the truth by God's grace. Some reject it without God's grace. Paul wrote in Romans 10, Lord, who has received our report? Romans 10:16. Lord, who has received our report? The sadness of the preacher. Lord, who has received our report? The sadness of the Christian. Lord, who's received this message? Who listens to the gospel anymore? The sadness of the church and her ministry. We groan over those who do not learn, over those who reject the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. These men rejected. They were men of corrupt minds. We are all of corrupt mind until the Lord gives us the mind of Christ. They were disapproved concerning the faith. They were reprobate. They were disqualified. They were headed for eternal punishment. They rejected God's Son. And an example is given here of Jannes and Jambres. And you're reading this in the New Testament and you think, who are these people? That's what I thought. Who are Jannes and Jambres? I've never heard of them before. Maybe they're in some obscure passage in Leviticus or somewhere, but they're not even there. Because this comes apparently, as my reference has told me, from a Jewish tradition that says these were the names of two of the Egyptian magicians who were trying to match the miracles of God through Moses and Aaron. Just as their work was stopped, the Lord will stop the false gospel. The Lord will stop His enemies. The Lord is victor. We can be assured. But sinners cause hard times. And it'll be worse toward the end of time, if I understand it correctly. What about you? You cause hard times? Who, me? Me? Cause hard times? Think of the hard times you caused for your parents. It's embarrassing, isn't it? It is for me. Think of the hard times you caused for your children. Think of the hard times you caused for your spouse, for your co-workers, for your neighbors. It's not a pretty picture. But there's hope for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, to forgive us for those sins, and to give us peace. But the first point is, sinful men cause hard times. And don't worry, points 2 and 3 are shorter. Secondly, turn away from sinful men who cause hard times. In verse 5, at the end of the verse, verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy, avoid such people. Avoid such people. I was reminded when I saw this, Psalm 1. Psalm 1 talks about with whom we should take counsel, with whom we should have fellowship, and with whom we should not. Remember? So be careful about with whom you seek fellowship. Have close fellowship with the Lord and with His people. Other members of Christ's body can help you and will help you and pray for you, encourage you. And we learn from one another in the body of Christ. We must be in contact with other people who don't believe the truth, of course. We have to be in contact with non-believers. The Lord doesn't want us to withdraw from the world. But even Jesus said to his disciples, as they went on a missionary tour, if the people of this town reject you, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town. Even Jesus said, cast not your pearls before swine. And we're looking face to face here at the doctrine of total depravity. We are all sinners, and only the grace of God can change us, forgive us, and change us. Only God, by His Spirit, can lead us to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But avoid those who continue in sin and do not repent. These sinful men will not succeed. Verse 9 says they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as it was with that of those two, that is, Jannes and Jambres, in the time of Moses. This will happen to the false teachers at Ephesus. Yes, Timothy, through the grace of God, will be successful in his ministry. This will happen for the church universal. Jesus always wins. He's the Lord. He's the victor. The true church will be preserved by her head. All the powers of hell will never defeat the sovereign God. Never. The Son of God is building His church, and He will put an end to those who are opposing Him. And we gather from this, not only turn away from sinful men in this context, but also turn away from your own sins. And I am to turn away from my own sins. If we don't, we'll only be harming ourselves and others. So turn away from sinful people who cause hard times. Thirdly, of course, we would know this as we come into this area of hard times. Thirdly, turn to the Lord in hard times, and that's implied from this passage in 2 Timothy. In hard times, we can react in different ways. Hard times come to us in the providence of God. Hard times don't come to the church. They don't come to you as individuals by accident. They come to you by God's specific design. And God uses these difficult times to mold us and make us and to refine us as silver and gold are refined in the fire. And He does that for His whole church. He was doing that in Ephesus. He's doing it in His universal church. He's doing it at Pilgrim. In hard times, sometimes we want to give up. In hard times, we want to look for the person to blame. Have you noticed every time there's a news report, there's the question, who is to blame for this? And we always rush to find who is to blame for something. We always want to blame someone. We want to blame someone when we're in hard times also. Or we want to complain against God. Why is God doing this to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? Many of the biblical writers express this. The Psalms express this. Job expressed this in many various ways through a number of chapters in his book. And remember how God answered him? God explained it to him, and then Job was all right, right? Job said, good job, God. No. No, he didn't. In fact, where was Job when God finished talking to him? Do you remember? Down there. He was on the ground. He was on his face before God, admitting that he was wrong. Yes, Job is the most patient, besides Christ, we know that. But even the most patient, besides Christ, had to be taught a lesson, and so do we. So there's another way for the people of God to respond in hard times, and that is not to turn away from God, but to turn to him. And there are various verses in this second epistle that point to that. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul writes, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by grace in hard times. Be strengthened by grace. Be strong in grace. You need grace when you're in hard times. You need grace always, but you need grace when you're in hard times. How do you get that grace? Well, let me put it this way. You don't get it by staying away from church. You don't get it by ignoring your Bible. You don't get it by saying, I'm too upset to pray. You don't get it by ignoring the sacraments. You get it by using the means of grace. Be strong in grace. Be close to the Lord and his word. And then he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Set your eyes on high. Set your eyes on Jesus Christ. Set your eyes on the one who endured hard times for you and for me. The one who is the victor over sin and death and hell and the devil himself. And trust him and depend on him in those hard times. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, he writes this, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Remember that. He will deliver you. You will reign with him. And then, when Paul comes to the end of this section goes on through the end of chapter 3. And at the end of chapter 3 is this familiar passage where Paul mentions the word, the inspired word of God. How do you deal with hard times? You come back to God's word. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You keep coming back to the word. Do you get to the point where you cannot read the word? Have you ever said, you know, I'm so angry at God, I'm going to ignore his word. I'll get him back. I'll show him. I'm not going to go to church. It doesn't hurt him. It doesn't show him. Well, yeah, it shows him. It shows him how foolish we are, right? when we resolve something like that. Go to the Word. It tells you about Jesus. It makes you wise for salvation and living the life of a disciple of Jesus. Turn to the Lord in hard times. He knows them. He knows hard times, as we find in Psalm 22. Listen to these verses from Psalm 22 about the hard times of Jesus. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of the earth. Psalm 22. Or Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Hebrews 5:7. Our sins caused Jesus to suffer, but he dealt with sin at the cross and tomb. So in hard times, come to him. Come to him for forgiveness. Come to him for strength in hard times. Come to him for victory over evil. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has decreed whatever comes to pass, even our difficult times, we pray you will strengthen us by your word and spirit. Enable us to stand strong for Christ and grant that we might learn more and more each day how to rely upon the Lord Jesus. Amen.